We are blessed to have our brother Tim Arnold speak to us. Him and his family has been here the most of their life. Most of us knows Tim. God has given him the gift to preach. God has given him the ability to speak things that need to be heard. So please give your attention to Tim this morning. And thank you, Tim, for being here. And thank you for delivering the word of God to us this morning. So it's all yours. Come on down, brother.
Well, thank you, Keith. That was an awesome introduction. I don't know that I can live up to that one. I'd appreciate it. I love hearing the kids in here. Was that a thank you, Jesus, that one of them yelled out a little bit ago? What was it? That's a first. I'm like, yes, we need that. So that is awesome. And I like the competition with the kids. So if your kid starts getting riled up, just pinch them one, because that'll get me going. You know, if there ain't no crying, the church is dying. So we love it. Don't feel bad at all about having your kids here, and if they start to wiggle around a little bit, because I know when we were younger, we were just perfect, and we never did that. So I'm going to be most of the time in Acts chapter 16. If you would, if you'd like to go there. This was a rough one, man. I had to work. I've been through Facebook, and I've been creeping on all you guys' pages. I've been looking through old yearbooks, newspaper clippings. Let me look and see everybody in here. Every person in here, I got information on you. I have found the absolute best day that you've ever had in your entire life. Everyone here, I know it. I've looked and I've found your absolute best day. Now, it's not the day you were married. I know, Deb, I know this is a close second. But it's not the day it's not even the day you became a Christian. And it's not the day you met your girlfriend, or it's not your first day of school. But I know the absolute best day that you've ever had in your whole life. Anybody want to volunteer? I've looked yours up. Anybody? Oh, I can't believe it. Nobody wants to know the best day of their life? All right. I'm not going to tell you now anyway. Oh, here we go. All right. You ready? I'll wait a little bit. I'll tell you later. All right. But I'm going to tell you here in a little bit, the best day you've ever had in your whole life. Paul knew the best day he ever had. And that's what I'd like to look at, because he's going to kind of help give us the answer. So in Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas has got some interesting times. So we got some good reading here. By the way, how long do I got? What do we do here? Anybody? A couple hours? 5 till? It's like 20 till now, so I got 13 minutes. Okay, all right, round 11. Oh boy, that's going to be tough. Okay, so Paul had some rough times. They go into this city, and they're preaching in the synagogue, and this young girl starts bugging them, just like pulling on their shirt tails. And they're trying to preach, and she's like, "These men are from the Most High God. You need to listen to them." And they're like, "Thank you for that, young lady." And they keep going on. "These men are from the Most High God. You need to listen." Keeps bugging them and bugging them and bugging them. Anybody know what Paul does here? He says, "Come out of her. Whatever spirit you are, get out of there." And it does. It leaves. She's like a normal young lady now. And she lives happily ever after. However, she had owners. And the owners of this young lady just realized they lost a fortune. Because this girl could tell fortunes, she could divine, whatever it was she could do, she could tell people, you know, just like she knew that Paul was from the Most High God, she was able to read fortunes, and he just drove that spirit out of her. And now they raise up the people, and they're like, "These guys are they're teaching against our customs and against our law, and being Jews, we can't even listen to that." So they get all riled up, and they start beating on them, and they hit them, and they take them to the magistrates. I don't know if we're supposed to be reading this or not, but Yeah, I guess it's kind of in there somewhere. Where are we? Verse 19. I'll back up a little bit and I'll try to be good for a minute. When the masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas, drew them into the marketplace, into the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrate rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes on them, anybody ever been beaten to where it makes stripes? I never have. I'm just wondering if it hurt or not. You know, you got to think it's going to be pretty bad. They cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. All right, so they beat him up. They strip him down. They beat him so bad they're just bleeding all over the place. Feet in the stocks, so they got feet cuffs on, so they're chained to the wall. They're not even just in the prison, they're in the inner prison. And this is where our story starts. So I'm going to give you two scenarios, two ways this could have happened, and you're going to try to tell me which one you think was the right way. Okay, so first we're going to look at the first scenario. First of all, I need some help. Does anybody remember back in the 70s, there was a weekly show called Hee Haw? Anybody remember Hee Haw? Hee Haw, you remember that? Okay, there's one particular, they did a lot of songs, you know, there was a lot of singing, there was one particular song that was called Gloom. Anybody remember that one? Like, really remember it? There's Silas. All right, everybody give a hand to Silas. This is our Bob is going to be Silas for today. All right, so we're going to put on a show. It's unscripted. All right, but Bob's going to help me out. Okay, so we're going to look at two scenarios. This is Paul and Silas in prison. So he's in cell block A. I'm over here in cell block B, all right, so we got bad time. Don't move your feet because you're chained in. We're watching you. Okay, I gotta get in script here. Oh, it's awful. Silas, where are you?
Over here.
Oh, man, is this not the worst day or what? My back is killing me. I'm bleeding all over the place. Did they beat you too?
Yeah.
Oh, feet chained up.
Yeah.
My ankles are bleeding. I can't move. This is horrible. We didn't even do anything. All we're doing is preaching. We're trying to give them good news, and they start beating on us. It's not fair. We did nothing to deserve this. We're the good guys. We helped that young lady. Why would they do this to us? I don't get it. God, you're watching over us. Why did you let this happen? How can you let these horrible things happen to your servants? We didn't do anything wrong. I'm in misery. I'm in pain. Ugh. Hey, Silas, what time is it?
Nighttime.
Verse 25. See if we can find it. It is nighttime. That's right.
It's midnight.
Oh, no, thank you. We didn't have Siri to ask or Alexa, so I have to ask Silas. It's about midnight. Let me add this up. 12, 1, 2, 3. Their day starts at 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock, 6 hours. Silas, 6 hours, you know, we're probably going to be dead.
Yeah.
They're not going to let us get by with this. They're going to wait till the magistrates show up. And they're going to kill us. We did nothing to deserve. We have done nothing bad. And in 6 hours, they're going to kill us. We have 6 hours to live. This is the worst day of my life. It can't get no worse than this. Well, it also says they were singing. Silas, you want to sing a song? All right, I'll start. You finish it. This sums up my day today. Gloom, despair, and agony on me.
Whoa.
deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. And everybody, gloom, despair, and agony on me. Paul had every right to feel that way, didn't he? Everything went wrong that day. But does anybody here think that that was Paul's attitude? We know he sang. We know he was in prison. Everything we said was true. But reading between the lines, do you think that's how Paul felt? How many jailers do you think would become Christians if that was Paul's attitude? How many prisoners that were in the cells with him would say, hey, I want to be like that Paul guy. I want to learn that song because that sounds like a fun life to have. He's only going to live 6 hours longer. I want to join that religion that's going to kill me in 6 hours because I'm probably going to be here at least a couple days. Do you think his influence would have changed people if that was Paul's attitude? Okay, wipe that one out. Let's go with plan B. Plan B. Yes! All right, how's everybody? Hey, Cell Block B, how you guys doing today? Man, you look like a bunch of murderers and rapists and thieves. Looking good, guys. Yes. Silas, are you out there? Silas in A, they got your feet chained?
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. I got the most modern ones, man. They're like keypads, something. I can't get them off. It's pretty cool. They are comfortable. It's like if my wife wanted me to go get her some water, I can't go because I'm chained down. All right, there's a rose behind every thorn, right? Oh, yes. What a great day. My back kind of hurts, though, but you know. I've been through worse. I'll tell you what, them stonings ain't nothing compared to this. So we're still pretty good, ain't we? Hey, Silas, what time is it?
Midnight.
Midnight. All right, let me add it up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6 hours. That's right, it's midnight. You don't look at the sun outside. All right, 6 hours. Silas.
Yeah.
Finally. We've been waiting forever for this. Do you realize in 6 hours we get to be with Jesus?
That's awesome.
6 hours and we're going to be with Jesus. It's starting the next. This is the best day of my life. I've never been closer to Jesus than I have today. You know, I even talked about that earlier that I was torn between the two. Half of me wanted to leave and be with Jesus and the other half wanted to stay and help others. I got the good half. I'm finally going to get to die. I finally get to be with Jesus. 6 hours, that's good. We got time to sing a song. Oh, how about that one in Psalms? This is going to be another verse for you. Maybe Psalms 118? Yeah? Hey, can you guys help Silas on his part on this one? It's easy. All you got to do is repeat what I said, and then at the end we sum it all up. You ready? This is a day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Everybody, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. For this is the day that the Lord hath made. One more time. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Well, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. For this is the day that the Lord hath made. Now that, if that's your attitude, that's going to cause the people around you to think, there's something wrong with this guy, and I got to figure out what it is. That's the attitude to when Paul would sign letters, he'd say, greet the prisoners in so-and-so and so-and-so. So-and-so, my fellow prisoners. Those people in the cell blocks around him were becoming Christians because they realized it doesn't matter how close you get to death, it only gets better. They only realize that today is the best day that you've ever had in your entire life. There's your answer. Today, you've never been closer to being with Jesus than you are today. That's yesterday's news. Today, you've never been closer than you have to being with Jesus. You have that attitude, and that's going to change people. When you go to work saying, this is the day, the best day of my life, people around you are going to say, what in the world do you got? Because I want whatever that is. That's the attitude that later in this story, when the chains come off and the doors open up, and the jailer comes out ready to kill himself because he was given an order and he didn't keep the order. The prisoners were going to escape. He's ready to kill himself. And Paul says, wait, don't. And do you remember what his answer was? What must I do to be saved? What do I need to do to become a Christian? That's what the jailer said. And that jailer and his family become Christians because of Paul and Silas's attitude. And that's the attitude we need to have. That's what we need to keep in our mind, that this is the best day of our life. If you can remember that for the rest of your life, whatever it is, this is the best day. Your life will never be the same again. Now, three ideas on how we can keep that attitude of today being the best day of our life. Number one, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. We all worry and fear and have all kind of worries about it. 189 times in the Bible, it talks about fear. Now, a lot of that fear is respect toward God, and I'm not talking about don't fail to have that respect toward God, but a lot of them is the word fear. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. If God has given us the spirit of power and love and of a sound mind, and God has not given us the spirit of fear, who do you think gave it to us? Satan. Satan is the master and the commander of fear. Fear is one of Satan's biggest darts. He's got these darts that he throws at us to try to tempt us. Fear is there. He doesn't need to teach us right or wrong. All he needs to do is make us afraid. Afraid. You want to have the attitude Paul had? You need to get rid of the fear. What are you afraid of? We don't have to be afraid of anything. We serve a God who is conqueror over death. Now, if you have someone that's a conqueror over death, what more do you got to lose? It's everything else is just a bonus. You know how they do studies on the heroes from World War II and I and all these wars, and they bring somebody out as a hero, and they interviewed a lot of these heroes, and most of them were just regular people. But you know what they almost all had in common? They was already dead. They're in a foxhole, and the enemy's coming in. They're charging. And the captain says, we need somebody to run back and tell them to send an artillery barrage. Now, I know when you run back, you're probably not going to make it, but we need a volunteer. The volunteer says, I might as well go because I'm dead anyway. We're not going to live past this. Ain't none of us going to see five after, you know. Oh, yeah, I'll go. And they go and they stop. They send the barrage. They stop it. And them guys are like, this guy is like a hero. No, he's just dead. He's just still walking, but he's dead. All right? It's not like he wasn't afraid. It's just like it doesn't matter anymore because there's something beyond death. Death is only a stepping stone, so it doesn't matter. We got to get rid of the fear. Oh, this, have you ever seen, and I'm not picking on you for COVID, but don't you think they did COVID just a little too much? They're like, oh, you need to stay in your house and put a plastic bag around your head and go to the basement and sit down there for 2 years and then you'll be okay. And it's like, what's going on here? Larissa was talking one day and we were talking because there was a big news headline on where some people were still going to church in the middle of COVID. And they're like, oh, how dare them? They might catch COVID and die. all because they went to church. And Larissa said, well, if you die from going to church, that's the easy path to heaven. You're going straight there. If you die for doing something good, you're like a hero. All right? You remember back in the day when they had scarlet fever and people were quarantined in their houses, and a Christian would come from next door and go in and serve and help that family? And sometimes they would catch it and die, and sometimes they wouldn't. But that didn't stop them from being a Christian. The fear of dying, the fear of catching the plague, whatever plague it was that year, that didn't stop them from being a Christian. And we cannot let fear stop us from being a Christian. Anybody have an easy pass in here? Easy pass? There, we got one. There, we got a few. Oh, easy pass is so sweet. It's like, if there was a voice on easy pass, you go up into the turnpike and it says, you know, cash left lane, and that lane's about 3 miles long. And then there's another one that says, if you got the easy pass, you go over to the easy lane. So you go over and just keep driving. Everybody else is taking their money and paying. And as you're going through, you hear a voice in your brain saying, thank you, Mr. Arnold, you've already paid. You just go right on through. And you go right on. If you die because you're doing the right thing, you got the easy pass to heaven. You're going right there. Don't fear death because you got the easy pass. Now, Bryant, my son, said, he's like, I'm not going to be afraid of COVID, but it's not like I'm going to go lick the doorknobs at Walmart. You know, I'm not going to encourage it to come at me, but I'm not going to fear anything that this world to offer. If you're afraid, Satan's the author of that fear. I promise you that. Satan's the author. If you give everything to God, and he is the pearl of great price, is this kingdom, if you get them all, we have nothing at all to fear. That's it. That's the first one. Don't be afraid. Second, we need to understand and accept God's grace. Understand and accept God's grace. Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9 says, for by grace are you what?
Saved
through faith. That not of yourselves. It's nothing you've done yourself. Not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So it's nothing we work for. It is a gift given to us from God. Accept that and just move on. We can accept God's grace. Remember what Jesus said in John 14, that we got people all worried and Jesus is ready to go back up to heaven. And they're all like, we can't do this without you. And Jesus sets them down and says, you know what? In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it weren't so, I would have told you. In other words, if that's not the way it was, I'd tell you the truth. He said, if it weren't so, I would have told you. I go there to prepare a place for you. And if I go there to prepare a place for you, then I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus says, you got nothing to fear. Nothing to worry about. The only reason you're not seeing me is because I'm up building houses in heaven and I'm getting ready for you. Now, when it's time, I'm going to come back and pick you up and take you back to me to where I am, you're going to be there also. One of my grandsons, Riker, and I were talking about this one day. I'm like, because he's like, where is Jesus? I'm like, you know where Jesus is? He's up in heaven building houses. He's getting ready for us, building houses, so that when we get to heaven, we're going to have our own place ready to go. And Riker said, well, I'm going to pray to God and ask Jesus to put my house right beside yours so that I'll be with you forever. We got no fear when it comes to that. All we have to do is recognize God's grace. God has given it all to us. He's offering us this all-inclusive package. And he says, all you got to do is accept it, sign up, give me your life, and you can have it. And if we understand that, then we will have the attitude that Paul had while he was in that prison cell. Last thing. need to adjust our attitude toward death. Adjust our attitude toward death. Stephen understood that one back in chapter 7 of Acts. Stephen was preaching. He was preaching to Jews. He preached them a reminder sermon. This is what it was like in the Old Testament. And then he pulls on out of it and he brings it into life, how that Stephen said, Jesus is the answer to everything we've looked for all the way back in our history. And they're just like, what a moron. And he's like, you uncircumcised people, which to them was the biggest insult of all. And they started pulling their hair out, pulling their clothes off, threw him down a hill, picked up huge rocks, and started throwing them on Stephen. Now, most of the time when you were stoned back at this time, you were stoned / buried. You know, they weren't throwing little marbles at you. They were throwing huge stones that would kill you, and they kept throwing and they kept throwing until there was just a pile of rocks there. They started throwing stones at Stephen. And if you'll read that, you'll find Stephen was angry, and he's like, God, you need to get after him. You need to, you know, knock him all down, strike him down. That was not his attitude. As they're stoning him, Stephen looks up and he says, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God, surrounded by angels. Now, this makes him go even crazier because they didn't believe in Jesus, let alone Jesus would be there. And they all the more scream and kill him. And his last words were, anybody remember that? God, don't hold this against them. Forgive them. You know, they don't understand what they're doing. How could he have the attitude of God, forgive these men, when they're in the middle of killing him? Because Stephen understood death. He understood that was just the next step, the next phase. And by the way, talking about the easy pass, Stephen got the standing ovation. You'll never again find in the Bible to where you find Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He's sitting at the right hand of God. Stephen comes. Jesus stands up and says, good job, Stephen. Come on up. I've been waiting for you. That's what I want. I want, as I'm going, I want to look. I don't know what Jesus will. He'll probably just sit sitting there and say, all right, Tim, come on. It was close, but come on up. But I'll be happy with that. You know, I don't mind getting in on tail end Charlie on that. That'll be okay. But he got the standing ovation from Jesus. He understood death, that death is not a bad thing. It's just a movement to the next. Do you remember the reading that we read this morning? Was that the most morbid reading you've ever had? Did anybody listen to that and you're like, why is he reading this? They were tortured. They were sawn asunder. That means they're cut in half. They were speared. They were pierced. Who was that? Those were Christians living in the Roman Empire. In the Roman Empire, under certain kings, or well, under Nero and under some of those, it was illegal to be a Christian. Imagine living in a time, now we're not there, but it's kind of leaning that way, but imagine living in a time to where it was illegal punishment of death by just being a Christian. Imagine that. You walk down the streets and someone says, Hail Caesar. You know what Hail Caesar mean? Sounds like, hey, how you doing? Hail Caesar means Caesar is Lord and King of all. A Christian could not say Hail Caesar. Because who is their Lord and King of all? Is Jesus. So many times they would say, Hail Caesar, and you might answer back, Maranatha, which means may the Lord be with you. You may answer back, Jesus is my King. Whoever said that to you would yell, Christian, there's a Christian here. And the soldiers would come and take you and your family, and no one would ever see you again. Imagine that. You might have just become a Christian that morning, and by that afternoon, they're taking you out to what we're reading about there in chapter 11. They were sawn asunder. They were pierced with the sword. These people understood that the Christian life, that service under Jesus, death is just a step to the next portal. That's the next thing. We need to adjust our attitude toward death. Death is not the end of time. It might be the end of the world for us, but it's not the end of time. It's the beginning of time. And we need to watch that attitude. Imagine this. Hail Caesar. And you say, may God be with you. And they call the soldiers. And they bring out your 10-year-old son and your 7-year-old daughter and your wife. And they take you to the Circus Maximus. Now, people thought that the killing of Christians was done in the Roman Colosseum. It was not. You walk about a mile down the trail, and there's a place called the Circus Maximus. That's where they did the chariot races. It's kind of like a flat field. It looked like our foot racing trails, whatever you call that, track fields. And then up the sides were places you could sit on the sides. And that's where the soldiers would practice their chariots, and all the soldiers, that's where they would do all their practice. So they stand you up as a father, and they take your wife, and they nail her to a wall. And they take your son, and they take his hands and nail him to the wall. And then they take your daughter. And then they say, archers, to the girl. And the archers draw back. And he comes to you and says, you deny Jesus right now, and I'll turn your daughter loose. You deny him right now. And the son walks over to the daughter. He says, I'll see you in 5 minutes. He says, just 5 minutes and it's all going to be over. I'll see you in heaven. Archers, fire. Spearmen, to the boy. Same offer. You go to your son and say, son, I know this doesn't make sense. We're going to be together here. God has us now. We're part of God's family. And we will be with you. I'll see you in just a little bit. Chariots to the wife. Now, father, I'm telling you, I'll let her go. All you have to do is deny Jesus. And you go to your wife and say, I can't, honey. Just believe me, we're going to be together here just a little bit. Just hang on. Chariots. Run the side spikes, and they run up the trail with their side spikes going. That's what you read in Hebrews 11. These people were losing their families. And why does it say they were destitute running about in the woods? Because they're trying to get away. They were trying to be Christians and still be alive, so they would live out in the deserts and in caves and in hideouts. They didn't want to be killed. They didn't want to lose their family, but they could not give up their Christianity. Now, when you have that kind of faith, death doesn't matter anymore. Death is just to the next. We have to understand that attitude of death. Because when we do, that's when life gets better. October 4th, my mother died. October 4th. You're like, oh, we need to grieve for your mother. You know what? You don't need to grieve for my mother. October 4th was the absolute best day she's ever had in her whole life. Was October 4th. That was her best day. Right now, she's with little children playing and singing. She's with my little sister. She's with all those aborted babies. And she's with those miscarriage babies. And she's having the time of her life right now. Now, you can grieve for my father. He's trying to figure out how to live by himself. That he's never had to do since college years. You can grieve for her children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, but don't grieve for mother, because our attitude toward death is that mother has gained the victory. And that's what we offer you today, the best day of your life. If you're not a Christian, this could surely be the best day of your life, because you can take care of it right now. You've been given one more day to change that, to where everything changes. Jesus said, I will take all your burdens, any problems, any cares that we have. Jesus has given to me and I'll give you mine. Your burden's heavy, my burden's light. We're not the boss anymore. You ever been a boss at work and they have a problem? There's a hair in my food. Go see the manager. If you're the manager, you have to deal with the hair in the food, all right? The little guy making the hamburgers, if there's a hair in my food, here's how he has to deal with it. Go see the manager. He don't have to deal with that. We don't have to deal with life. Jesus is the manager. Every burden, every care that we have, go give it to the manager. We have nothing to worry about. Jesus says, if you're mine, you don't even have to worry about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, where you're going to go to sleep. I'm going to take care of all that for you. And that's what I offer you this morning. If you're not a Christian, this is the best day of your life. If you are, this is the best day of your life because you've never been closer to God. We're going to sing an invitation song. If you need to respond in any way, we invite you to do that as we stand and as we sing.